This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Tuesday afternoon on the Mark Reardon Show, Sue will have a Tuesday edition of Sue's News in the next hour. We'll also talk about the weather quite a bit because, you know, it's all panic for the blizzard of 2025, even though it's going to be like an inch and a half, Sue. But well, Dave Murray will join us with the very latest. The other thing I want to talk to Dave about, you know, he's out there in California because he's retired. There's a big, big storm moving in from the coast in California, and that might not go very well for them because of the fire situation in the mud. So Dave will have the very latest on that. Our friend Kenny Wallace in the next hour. Kenny's just back from a great trip to Italy, and he was very active on the social media, and I think just the European perspective from Herm is going to be legendary. Sean Spicer at 5:07, and Jason Rance, who does talk radio in Seattle, will come up in the 5 o'clock hour. We have a mayor's race, which is coming up here in St. Louis, a couple of them, actually, because there's a runoff election as well. There was some fascinating new polling that came out about our mayor, Tashara Jones, a couple of weeks ago, and Kara Spencer is the 8th Ward alderwoman for the city of St. Louis, one of the Democrat challengers, probably the best chance of winning in this election. She's joining us in the studio. Hi, Kara. How are you? Thank you for coming in. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Good
I'm
to
glad
see
to be
you.
Here. Thanks for having
so
me.
So I mentioned that the polling showed, this is what people tell me, there was a 62% negative for Tashara. And a guy like Jeff Rainford, who used to be in City Hall with Mayor Slay, says he's never really seen numbers that high outside of someone not embroiled in a scandal, indicted, or a controversy.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think our mayor is embroiled in some scandals. I mean, you see the corruption coming out of several city departments right now, and then the failure to do the basic job of being a city. I mean, if that isn't scandalous, I don't know what is.
Well, that's what we talk about all the time. You know, we can talk about these political issues, which you and I will disagree on many of those things, but we're talking about services in the city and the basic functions and safety. You know, and here we are. I kind of made a crack to her, Sue, as she was walking in that wasn't targeting Kara, really targeting the current administration. There's a story that came out today about the streets director who's on leave.
Right, and right now?
Well, because of surgery.
Oh,
it should have been fired a month ago, but because of surgery, that streets director is not there. But that's really one of the functions that people are concerned about because this storm, and while it was significant and ice was pretty thick, the services weren't there, Kara.
Oh, no, they weren't there. I mean, I think that's very, very clear. And, you know, I mean, this is a fairly unprecedented storm. I get that. I mean, this was not a normal annual snowfall. But, you know, we're looking at a time in our lifetimes where unexpected weather events are kind of the norm at this point. And so we've got to be able to pivot. We've got to be able to be nimble. And we've got to be able to address the needs of our citizens, even if we can't predict them.
So what, first of all, there seems to be an opportunity here that maybe did not exist because you really have a legit shot here to win. But maybe let's explain the protocol moving forward because it could be confusing to people who don't live in the city. There's an election in how long? In 3 weeks?
It's 3 weeks from today. That's exactly right.
I can't wait. I'm a voter,
right?
Well, and you know, there isn't the snowstorm isn't really the reason here. It is really just the illustration. I mean,
well, that's a good point.
We did polling back in December that showed extremely similar results. Okay, you know, people have been feeling like their potholes haven't been filled. The reckless driving is out of control. Trash is nothing new to this snowstorm. And these are failures of city government that have been ongoing. It was illustrated very aptly by the snow and ice that remained in our streets for weeks. But this is just, again, just an illustration of what's been going on in our community.
Does the illustration, is it really kind of framed most often around crime and safety? Or is it a variety of issues?
I think it's a variety of issues. I mean, when I think about why people are leaving, you know, it's obvious. obvious, you know, that it's the public, you know, the basic services. We've talked about those. It's public safety. But at the end of the day, I think people have, you know, kind of lost faith in their city government. I mean, it's the corruption coming out of the building division. It's the ARPA funds that haven't been spent, a lack of urgency. And we have an administration, a mayor that keeps telling us everything's okay.
Yeah.
We're doing your job. I know it doesn't seem like we're filling potholes, but believe me, they're getting full.
Right.
You know, yeah, you may feel like it's unsafe, but it's really, really safe. And you can see people driving like maniacs, adhering to absolutely no traffic laws whatsoever. And people are, their lived experience is very different than what their government is telling them.
Well, I will also say that safety is a big issue. I, for instance, am in Holly Hills, and I have to pay extra for a private patrol to patrol our streets, and I have to pay extra for that, and incidents still occur. We simply don't have enough police, and that's a huge frustration in many neighborhoods.
Yeah, you're right. And you know, even when you call the police, the 911 system, where, you know, yes, I understand that the response times have gone down, but guess what? We've also implemented a press one for fire, press two for EMS. Hang on the line if you're really in dire straits. You know, this sort of approach to, you know, fiddling with the numbers and getting the numbers that you want to be able to communicate, you know, is really enormously frustrating to the average citizen.
So what kind of confidence, though, can someone have thinking Kara Spencer can turn some of this around? I mean, the Board of Aldermen is out there on the fringe on a lot of these issues. You mentioned the ARPA funds. I mean, let's just start there. How do you recapture that particular idea and talk about things to use money for in the city of St. Louis that maybe the electorate would support?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very clear we need to get back to the basics. You know, from the very beginning of the ARPA funds, I've been a proponent of investing the largest chunk of it into the infrastructure of our city, the streets, you know, the trash trucks, the things that we need to do the basic job of being a city government. It's a recognizing it's a once in a lifetime slug. You know, you can't use it for raises and things like that, an ongoing cost structure.
Right.
So
that's an important point that I think even was lost on me for a while, because that stuff then becomes an annual expense. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of those annual expenses, the general fund that we use for, you know, trash trucks, you know, street repairs and stuff like that, we could, if handled appropriately, get the backlog of all those deferred maintenance, you know, done with the ARPA funds. We could have focused a large amount of that. And luckily, we've only spent about 37% of those ARPA funds that we've been sitting on for 4 years. So we have the opportunity to redirect some of those. They've been obligated, yes, but I think there's some flexibility. I think we're going to see when we start combing through how they've been dispersed, how those programs have been going and not going, we're going to have some opportunities to hopefully reinvest some of those funds.
Kara Spencer is here. She's running for mayor here in a few weeks. It's 3 weeks from today. So, the conventional wisdom in the city of St. Louis, where I did live in the city for a while, would be the South Side, a lot of white voters there, maybe different priorities in the North Side, African-American, on the racial element of this, because that's something that is important, and it's, you know, relatable to a lot of people. I guess they sometimes make decisions on that. What kind of inroads are you having with African-Americans in North St. Louis? Because our perspective is always, hey, these are some folks that maybe get grouped unfairly into a bucket that says we don't want more police, when actually they want more police and public safety. And that message sometimes gets overridden in the media, et cetera.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's absolutely true. I mean, what we're doing as a campaign is really going out and meeting people where they are throughout the city. Ward endorsements and endorsements across the board have just started to come out. The first ward endorsement just happened to be the northernmost ward, the 13th ward. They endorsed me for mayor unilaterally.
Okay,
and so we're proud about that. You know, and just meeting people where they are. I mean, I think people across the board are very, very, very frustrated with the administration. And while racial dynamics always play into it, I think it's important that, you know, as a city alderperson, I represented for 8 years a ward that I was the distinct racial minority in. And I think it's important to represent people, the interests of citizens, regardless of race. And I've had a good track record of doing just that.
Well, what's your current philosophy on the redevelopment of the part of downtown where we sit right now, all the way to the Arch, in the AT&T building, obviously? And there's now tax incentives being discussed someone like me thinks that's nuts. I'd love to see downtown succeed, but I work right here. And I can't go through the traffic lights without stopping, even if they're green, because I've come too close to being hit. I've walked between here and Busch Stadium, and I have not felt safe. One thing I should say, walking back from the hockey game the other night, right here at Pelker Park, there was a cop that was there. I had not seen that. I can't remember when I've seen that. That made me feel good. But on the AT&T building and all that, what are you thinking there? Because obviously that would be an important part of downtown, but that looks risky to me, Kara.
Well, look, I mean, I think that investing in our downtown is critical for not just the city, but for the region as a whole. It is the core of our community. And we cannot have a flourishing city, a flourishing St. Louis region without a flourishing downtown. I'm a big proponent of investing in our downtown area. Cities that succeed have downtowns that subsidize the neighborhoods throughout the city. And so I'm looking at the Rams funds and hopefully be able to invest a good chunk of those in making the investments in downtown make sense and turn a profit for the city. I mean, you know, I think it's important that we recognize that we're losing, when we lose businesses down here, we're not just losing the tax dollars, we're losing the assessed value of our real estate. And that is a tremendous punch to our bottom line. And if we don't get a handle of that, we're not going to have the revenues we need to hire the cops that you want to see at Polk Park, that you want to see, you know, stopping traffic and making sure that you can drive through a green light reliably and safely.
I should know this, but what is your position currently on state control? That's something that's being, even today in the Senate, I think they're taking up that bill.
We talked about this at the floor of the Board of Aldermen. I know that the state of Missouri was really looking to the Board of Aldermen to figure out what to do with that. I'm making a joke there, Mark, but give me a break. But, you know, but the reality is we talked about this a lot. And what I said there, and I'll say it here, is that I think the biggest thing going for the proponents of state control, by the way, I'm not one of them. I want to see the city of St. Louis continue to control their police department. But on the other side, the biggest thing they got going for them right now is the police officers themselves would rather have the state of Missouri as their employer than the city of St. Louis.
Yeah. Yep.
And we have some major issues there. We have two police officer unions, you know, the union POA and the Ethical Society, which represents primarily Black police officers, and they both would rather have state control. Okay, and so we are not being a good employer. We've got to recognize the issues that make our officers rather have that. It looks like, you know, everything from procurement of shirts, fixing of vehicles, the basic necessities that an officer has, to hiring and policies within the department and feeling supported by their community.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
You know, I think it's important that we recognize that and we work to be a better employer, not just for the police department, but for all city employees.
Hey, you better be careful taking the side of supporting police. That's very dangerous in the city of St. Louis. Look, I wish you luck. I mean, a lot of us, we sit here and talk about these issues. We realize that it's important to the region. We want people to feel safe to come downtown, whether it's a baseball game or other things. So I think there's a lot of folks looking for a change, and I appreciate you coming in here. I think you got a good shot, Kara. I would have said that months ago, but Tish, she's made this a little easier on you with her travel and everything, too. You must thank her and send her flowers.
I send her flowers every day. Yep.
Good Lord.
But look, I mean, you know, I'm looking to people to get engaged. The biggest ask I have for folks who live in the city is to get out and vote. We have very low turnout. There's only a couple things on this ballot, the mayor's race, the comptroller's office. Mm-hmm. There's only two alderman seats up for grabs in the primary. So it's really important to get out and vote. You know, if you live in the region, consider investing in a city election financially, because what happens in the city ripples throughout the region.
Yes.
So consider making your voice heard, whether that's a financial contribution or just weighing in on social media.
And the 3 weeks from today, that's the first round, just to be clear on the protocol. And then there's a runoff with the top two vote getters.
That's right. But look, we want to make a big splash in the primary because when the April election comes around, we want it to be clear who's going to be the next mayor. Because on the April 8th election, the person who wins that seat is going to be walking into govern in 2 weeks.
And that quickly.
Quickly. So it's important, I think, to come out strong in the primary to make a good showing so that we can spend a couple weeks at least getting some preparation work done in the event that we're able to govern.
You know what I feel right now? I feel confidence from Kara Spencer.
Yes.
I feel energy, and I think this is heading in the right direction. So thank you. I appreciate you coming in here and spending some time, and good luck with everything. Keep us posted.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we got a break here. We're coming back. Sue's News in the next hour. Kenny Wallace in the next hour. We'll have some fun with him. It's all on a Tuesday afternoon edition of the Mark Reardon Show.
Get more at 971talk.com.